This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, joined by Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hey there, Dave.
With the legalization of recreational marijuana in Massachusetts and perhaps down the road in Rhode Island, come a variety of questions, including the business side of the issue. And to talk about that, our guest is Mr. Preston Halperin from the law firm of Schechtman, Halperin & Savage in Pawtucket, representing marijuana cultivating clients in both states. And welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Has there been a rush of potential clients to get involved in the marijuana business, either in Mass or Rhode Island?
I wouldn't quite go as far as describing it as a rush, but I do think that there are a lot of people from all different walks of life who have been looking at this, both in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, from the standpoint of growing it, investing in it, and ultimately being in position to benefit from the recreation market.
What's your advice to people about what they should prepare for?
Well, it's not unlike other businesses in the sense that if you don't have all your bases covered, you may not succeed. So in this particular area, you've got to have expertise in the how to grow the product. You've got to have expertise in just overall business acumen, and you've got to have financing. And I wouldn't understate the financing requirement, because setting up one of these businesses is a very expensive proposition.
You know, despite Washington and California and Colorado having a lot of marijuana out there in the retail marketplace, it's still actually a controlled substance and therefore illegal according to federal law. Which we were talking earlier, you said that actually creates the opportunity for small businesses in places like Rhode Island or Massachusetts. Explain that.
Well, that's really one of the things I find most fascinating about the whole emergence of this industry. It has to be confined within the state borders because of the federal law. So the illegality on a federal basis, it is what creates the opportunity for all of these small and medium-sized businesses to emerge within each state. And the beauty of that is the economic impact of this new industry is largely felt within the state. Unlike almost anything else that might emerge as a new business, where you might have production in some major facility in another part of the country with the end product being imported. Here we have small, medium-sized businesses growing and putting people to work locally and ultimately developing new products on a local level and selling them locally. And there have been studies done on this in Colorado, which is really the incubator for the whole project. And the economic impact of marijuana is something in the nature of double the sales revenue based upon the way it trickles down into the economy. I mean, Colorado itself has something in the neighborhood of 25,000 new jobs. You know, that's all confined to the state.
What are some other lessons that may have been learned from the Colorado experience?
I'm sure that there are probably lessons in every area. Undoubtedly, they have lessons in regulation. The laboratory testing, there's a big area that's being sort of flying under the radar at the moment, certainly in Rhode Island. You know, in Rhode Island, we've had medical marijuana for a while, but we haven't had laboratory testing requirements, which is a little puzzling when you consider that this is being ingested for medicinal purposes.
So you're talking about purity and all those kinds of issues.
You're talking about how it's grown. Are there pesticides? Are they using equipment that's leaving chemical residue? And those are things that are all about to come to Rhode Island. They're already in most other states. As Rhode Island moves forward, it has the benefit of looking at Colorado, looking at other locales that have already put regulations in and hopefully taking the best of those.
If any state is considering the potential revenue from legalizing marijuana, it also has to be balanced with the cost of administration, with the cost perhaps of law enforcement, some other associated costs, right?
There's no question that there are costs that are associated with regulating and enforcing. The state has a pretty wide range of latitude in deciding how far to tax the product. So in Colorado, the tax is as high as 20 to 30%, depending on which taxes you're looking at. Massachusetts, it seems to be going easy in the 12% range overall between the excise, the sales tax, and the local tax. So they have a pretty good spread. But in Colorado, for example, it's clear that they have excess funding that they're using for some other purposes, like funding of schools and other programs. And it varies from city to city. They can take that money and they can apply it to whatever they want to.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Mr. Preston Halperin from the Pawtucket law firm of Schechtman, Halperin and Savage.
Now, you were talking earlier about small businesses, entrepreneurial activity, in effect, but there's a big project that looks to be approved and about to get started in Freetown, right, which is related to this.
Yes, I think that's the biggest one I've heard of sort of in our region. I've heard it's as much as 1 million square feet. And I've had the occasion to speak to one of the individuals involved, and I know they're very focused on creating a facility that's going to produce a very, very high quality product using sort of greenhouses as opposed to going into old mill space, for example. I think they feel that they've got a better way to create a better product.
So this is a million square feet of marijuana growing, you know, that, and obviously Massachusetts is legalizing it, but it could come into Rhode Island, I assume, as well, or be suppliers for the, I don't understand the medical marijuana. Does it have to be grown in Rhode Island?
Yeah, nothing can cross state lines,
okay,
whether it's medicinal or recreational.
We spoke before about a potential problem with old mill buildings, which you just mentioned. What is that problem?
Well, I don't know if it's as much a problem as there is a significant cost associated with the marijuana business. And one of the significant costs, aside from needing physical space, is there's a high cost of electricity in order to run the equipment that needs to be run and the lights that need to be run and to generate the right temperature. And so all of these older buildings have significant costs associated with them. But all the individuals I've spoken to who are buying buildings and investing in these buildings feel that the business is lucrative enough to handle those costs quite comfortably.
With an operation that could be called a mom-and-pop marijuana growing operation, what about eventual takeovers by a larger business coming in? You know, is that happening? Do you hear about that happening?
Well, what we do know is the marketplace begins with all different types of people looking for their entry point. So I've met with investors who are coming out of other successful business careers who simply have money to invest. I've met with 25-year-old finance majors who graduated college a couple of years ago who are currently running small grow operations. I've met with individuals who run other businesses that are sort of related. For example, they may have a landscape business or a sprinkler business. And they're coming from all walks of life, and they're exploring this business opportunity. One thing is for certain is that over time, as a marketplace that is new matures, you're likely to see consolidation where the successful businesses grow and less successful businesses fall to the wayside. And we're hearing that that's, in fact, the experience in Colorado.
And that's all the time we have to talk about this at this point. Our guest has been Mr. Preston Halperin from the Pawtucket law firm of Schechtman, Halperin and Savage. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, as always, to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.